Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Coming up on this week's episode, what is the Disruptive Education Conference in Toronto all about? Halloween idioms that are very scary. And in our Teacher Talk segment, Halloween ideas for your ESL classroom. And why do we say pulling someone's leg? All coming up on The James Rice Show. All right, welcome my students to this week's episode of The James Rice Show. I am the author and series creator of the Study It ESL textbooks available on iBooks, or Books as Apple now calls it. And it is fantastic to be with you today. You can subscribe to my show, of course, on Apple Podcasts or Android Stitcher Podcast app. Just search for The James Rice Show. Don't forget the James Rice Show, and you'll find my show. The full episodes are released every Monday, and we release other bonus episodes throughout the month as well. So I am based in Toronto, Canada, and I'm here, which, by the way, you know, I am here with Stephanie, our producer, our lovely producer. Hello, Stephanie. And of course, marijuana is now legal in Toronto, Canada. So that's been our big news for this week in Toronto. And we are broadcasting in over 60 countries around the world, where there's only two countries that have legal marijuana: Canada, and there's one more, which is that one. Send me a message on our Facebook page. Tell me which other country allows legal marijuana, and I will send you a free Study It ESL textbook. All right. Now, the big news this week is that I will be appearing in the Disruptive Education Conference in Toronto on Saturday, November 3rd. So if you are in Toronto, you can get tickets to the conference and join us in person. And if you're not in Toronto, then you can watch the conference online. Yeah, so you can hear us and see us. I guess you'll be able to see us, I'm assuming, at the discussing some of the disruptive education conference ideas. So there is some more information on this conference on my website, www.thejamesriceshow.com. Now, I do have an interview with Judy Thompson, one of the organizers of the conference, and she's the author of the book English is Stupid, Students Are Not. It's quite a popular book, and I believe it's free on her website. You can just download it. And she is an amazing lady who has done a TED Talk on three things you need to know about spoken English. It's a really cool TED Talk, so check it out. Now, before I get to the interview with Judy, I do want to talk about disruptive education. Like, what is that? You know, when we're talking about disruptive education, well, it is change that is leading to innovative practices that improve learning outcomes for students. So what might have worked in the past, i.e. DVDs and TVs and CD-ROMs, they will not necessarily have the same impact on today. And it doesn't mean just technically, technological advances, but also teaching methods, okay? So things like situational learning methodologies, or the PPP method, or the communicative method, those methods, sorry students, I'm talking to teachers right now, the TESOL teachers will understand what I'm talking about, those methods may not work in today's world. And you often hear me talk about flipped learning and project-based learning and mobile learning. Well, those are some of the innovative practices that help you, the student, become better at English. And right now, there's a lot of disruption going on in education and in the ESL world. So Judy has invited me, and I will be speaking at the conference in Toronto about educational technology. That's going to be my topic. So that's really something I love talking about. And So before I give away too much, let's listen and connect with Judy. I interviewed her last week. So Stephanie, let's play clip number 4. Now, I'm very excited to talk about an amazing ESL conference for teachers and edupreneurs and teacherpreneurs coming up here in Toronto, Canada on November 3rd and 4th. And I'm happy to welcome Miss Judy Thompson. Hello, Judy.
Hi.
Hi. Can you tell us a little bit about the conference that you've put in together with Anesh Daya from On the Spot?
Sure. The initiative, it came out of a conversation. I met Anesh on LinkedIn, and I live in Niagara Falls. I'm not far from Toronto. We got together. We were so like-minded about what's possible and what's happening and the changes in the industry and the impact of technology. We thought we're probably not the only two who are thinking this way and excited about the future of teaching English. So we said, why don't we have a conference? And that was the start. And the response has been really terrific.
Exciting. Yeah, and you've had some great response from edupreneurs. Can you tell us, what is an edupreneur?
An edupreneur is a modern kind of animal who works in their pajamas, really, sits at home in their computer.
Don't tell the secrets, Judy. Don't tell the secrets. That's what I'm wearing right now.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Tell me what you're wearing. No. It's a modern job. You could really make a difference if you connect with the kind of people who need the specific training that you offer. I teach speaking exclusively, and I teach executives online. But people teach writing, and they teach maybe all 4 skills.
Yeah, and you're doing this outside the traditional school kind of employment, right?
Well, mine is really breakthrough stuff. So instead of teaching everything that I know about English, I teach what students need to know. So it begins with, it's customized, it begins with just a killer assessment of, you know how, well, it's not nice to say, but you could imitate a German speaker. You could imitate a Russian speaker, a Chinese speaker. It's because the patterns of their first language are interfering with their English speaking in really specific ways. So you address those. What's different about Russian and English? What's different? So what so is, any two languages are more the same than different. So I've never had a student that was mute. It doesn't matter what language they're bringing to the table, they use almost identical sound sets as English. So traditionally, we taught them all the English sounds. We don't have to do that. We just have to see what's the same between Spanish and English. The answer is most of them. What's the same between Chinese and English? And the answer is most of them. And then you just teach what's different. There's a few sounds that are different, and that's it. There's just a few things that impact how any speaker speaks English. So it's coaching more than teaching. And this coaching is a new industry. That's what I do. I'm really a coach.
Yeah. And so, Judy, you are going to be speaking at the conference, correct?
I will be speaking. I'll speak about content and different approaches. And you are going to be speaking.
And I am going to be speaking as well. That's a big announcement for the fans out there of the James Rice Show. I will be at the conference. Now, can you tell us what is the name of the conference, and how can you get tickets to go to the conference?
Well, the conference is Disruptive Education, and the byline is for English language learners. Tickets for the conference are at thompsonlanguagecenter.com, thompsonlanguagecenter.com. In the events section there's a link to participate in person and to get your registration there. And in the same spot, there'll be a link up soon if you are interested in experiencing the conference online. That link isn't up yet, but it'll be up very soon.
So we got two options. If you're in Toronto or in Ontario and you have a chance to come and see the and participate in the conference, because it's a two-day event, correct?
Yes, all the speakers are on the Saturday, November 3rd, and then there's a hackathon on Sunday morning at the same place. There's no price for the hackathon, and it's really a conversation, just expanding this conversation. How do we serve the booming online entrepreneur industry in ESL? And hand in hand with that is, how do we serve students? That's going to happen on Sunday morning.
Where is it, and how much are the tickets?
Oh, the tickets for the conference, the whole conference, are $100 a person. The tickets for the online experience are $20. And that's only for the Saturday. That's for the speakers and the Q&A and panel discussion, not the hackathon on Sunday. And 720 Bathurst Street, up there at Bathurst and Bloor in Toronto, at the Center for Social Innovation in Toronto, is the venue.
Yeah, and I will definitely be putting this up online on the Facebook page, as well as our website, www.thejamesriceshow.com. And you will be able to see me, guys. I will be there in person, and you can at least watch me online if you want to. And I'm really looking forward to it, Judy. It's going to be an exciting, exciting event.
I'm excited about it, too. I should say there are two more speakers, so Elizabeth Verway, she's an office small business guru, officementors.com. And Anish is speaking at all. He's an experiential learning expert, really, with his award-winning on-the-spot language program.
And who do you think would benefit most from this conference?
Well, I think Anish says people who are fed up with the way English is being taught right now. If you're young, if you're unemployed, if you're really excited about making a difference, there's just new and progressive things happening in our industry. And it's a great opportunity to see and hear about these things and get some support starting your own small business.
Absolutely. Now, you know, it's great to have Judy on the show here with us today, because she is a real disruptor, ESL disruptor. What have you seen in the last 10 years? What are kind of the biggest changes that you've seen in the last 10 years in the ESL industry?
I'm going to say open-minded people are much more receptive. 10 years ago, when I published my first book, which is English is Stupid, Students are Not, there was a tremendous pushback from the traditional language teaching industry, really. They did not want to hear anything new. They were pretty happy with the way it was going, and I was pretty unhappy with the way that it was going. It was not fine with me that people were graduating after years and years of study and still unable to have a conversation with a stranger about anything that they want. They still lacked confidence. They really couldn't speak English, and they passed all the tests. So that was a problem for me. And it's fixed now, and people are really excited about how did you fix it, and what can I do to make a difference? So really, really opened up.
Yeah, I find teachers to be much more receptive to the different tools that are available. Not necessarily the same tools that I like, but they want to experiment and try different methods, maybe, or just different, in my case, I like to try different ed tech toys in their classroom.
Well, a lot of them were feeling very isolated. So they'd had the same experience, the same frustrations, and they developed their own, a lot of them developed their own phonetic alphabets and things like that. So they'd isolated problems and solved problems, but then the students would go to the next teacher. There was no continuity in their school. Didn't matter how great their idea was. So they were happy and to be engaged with other teachers doing very, very similar things. You know, I speak a lot, and I've never spoken where somebody hasn't come up to me at the end, quite a few actually, and said, I do this part, I do this part, I do this part. It's so validating to hear that there's a community of people who are trying these things, and they're working all over the place.
Yes, they are. Absolutely. And we're going to try to gather them together on Saturday, November 3rd and Sunday, November 4th in the morning for the Disruptive Conference, right? Yes. I'm very excited. Disruptive Education, right?
Yes.
Got to get the name right. And the tickets are available on thompsonlanguagecenter.com. Again, I'll put a link on our website to help you guys get those tickets. So you can get them online. You can watch online for $20, or you can join us in person for $100. And it's in downtown Toronto, Canada. And I'm very excited. I look forward to hearing you speak, Judy. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I should say there's a little bit of swag if you come in person too.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit more on another episode then.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Judy.
Take care.
All right. So that was Judy Thompson. And as we discussed, you can get more information on my website, www.thejamesriceshow.com. It will link you to where you can buy the tickets to the conference, whether online or in person. Would love to meet you guys there and have a chance to chat with you more. And so that's coming up. And what do we got next, Stephanie? The top five? Yeah, the top five. We have our top five listeners for this week. Very little change. We have in number one, Brazil. Hello, my Brazilian friends. Thank you very much. Obrigada. Second place is the United States of America. And third place, Vietnam. Yeah, Vietnam. Fourth, Japan. Hello, my Japanese. Konnichiwa. And fifth place, Canada. Canada is in fifth place for our listeners for this week. And so thank you guys, as always, for your support. Don't forget to go on to the episode page from our website, thejamesriceshow.com, and you can get more information about each episode and links for more information for your classes or for study. And this week we're going to be talking a lot about Halloween coming up, and you will be able to get some links to some great videos as well as some great classroom ideas as well. So visit episode 42 and you can get that information. All right, so we've got coming up next Halloween idioms.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
Halloween is coming, and it's only 1 week away, so I thought we would take a look at some scary Halloween idioms to help you study English, and if you're teachers, maybe you can use these idioms in your class to prepare for Halloween. Now, Halloween, it was a festival when the spirits of the dead were believed to revisit this mortal world. And to scare them off, people wore scary masks and costumes. Now, the festival is said to have come from Ireland, where it is widely celebrated. And in the 19th century, Britain and Ireland, there were many accounts of people going house to house in costumes at Halloween, and they would be reciting verses or, saying expressions or proverbs or things like that, maybe even some idioms, in exchange for food. Yeah, so they were given food for what they were speaking to the people. And sometimes, if they didn't get food, they would warn people about bad luck coming to them. All right. And That was the start of the expression trick or treat. Which is really common nowadays with children going to door to door asking for treats. And in North America, the first ever recorded trick or treating was right here in my hometown in 1911. So we Canadians are to blame for Halloween and trick or treating. Now, on to the idioms. First idiom, scared stiff. Scared stiff. All right. And this means to be very, very frightened. All right. So scared that you can't even move. You're like a dead body. You're stiff. All right. So when I saw a giant spider in my bathtub this morning, I was scared stiff. Yeah, scared stiff. That's one. All right, another idiom, death trap. Death trap. Now, this idiom means a building or a structure, perhaps like a bridge or something, that is very, very dangerous. So if you're going to walk on it, you may die. All right, so I'm thinking about some roller coasters, you know, that I've ridden on, that when I got on them, I'm thinking, oh my God, these are death traps. I'm going to die on this roller coaster because it's so old and dangerous and wooden, perhaps. All right, next one. Come back to haunt you. Come back to haunt you. All right. So this expression means you make a mistake now, and that will affect you perhaps later in life. Yeah. So I skipped school last month, and now it's coming back to haunt me because I missed an important lecture. Yeah. We've all done that. Next one. Scare the pants off someone. Oh my gosh, you scared the pants off me. I wasn't expecting to see you in this house. Yes. Have you ever scared somebody where, like, the pants fall down? Not really, but that's the expression, you know, to really scare someone. All right, another expression, a skeleton in your closet. A skeleton, which is bones and no skin, in your closet. A skeleton in your closet. And that means kind of an embarrassing secret. Yeah. So if you decide to become the president of the United States, like Donald Trump, the reporters are going to find a lot of skeletons in your closet. Yeah, as we know with Mr. Trump there. Next one, blind as a bat. Blind as a bat. Now, this expression means that you can't really see. I'm blind. I can't see. I can't see a thing. I can't see a thing. Yeah. So my mother is as blind as a bat when she's not wearing her glasses. So she can't see anything. I can't find where's my glasses? I can't find them. I am blind. All right. Next one. Night owl. Night owl. And, you know, I am a night owl. It's a person who loves to stay up late. And maybe you are listening to podcasts, yeah? You're a night owl, so you love staying up, listening to The James Rice Show. All right. So remember, keep studying English, or it will come back to haunt you. And don't be a night owl, spending all your time texting and playing games on your phone, or you will go as blind as a bat. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at ConnectWithJames for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
Okay, welcome to Did You Know, where we try to answer the question, why is English so crazy? Like, why English muffins were not invented in England, nor French fries in France? I never really thought about that. All right, today we're taking a look at the expression pull someone's leg. pull someone's leg. Now, this means, in today's world, that means to trick or to fool someone. So if you pull someone's leg, you kind of do a joke, you know, like, hey, James looks like Tom Cruise. Yeah, not really, but, you know, if you imagine me as Tom Cruise, I would be happy. But I'm trying to trick you. I'm trying to pull your leg. All right, now this expression originally came from street thieves in old London, England. Yeah, so these were, you know, kind of robbers or pickpocketers, guys or ladies who went around and stole money from people. Yeah, so they would often work together in pairs. So one was a thief, and he was known as a tripper-upper. Yeah, and his job was to trip someone using maybe a cane, you know, a cane, which is a long piece of wood, or maybe a rope they would have on the ground. So you would walk, and the person would trip over the cane or the rope. And the other partner, thief, would then rob the victim as he was lying on the ground. So he'd take his wallet, or he would take his watch or whatever he had, and they would run away. Yeah, so pulling your leg originally meant to trip someone, to make someone fall. Isn't that interesting? And now you know.
Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
Hello, teachers, and welcome to Teacher Talk this week. And we're going to be discussing some amazing ideas for your ESL class for Halloween. Now, here's an interesting fact you can share with your students. Did you know that 1/4 of all the candy sold every year in the USA is purchased for Halloween? Yeah, we're loving that candy. So, of course, you know, dressing up and being a little crazy is what Halloween is all about. And some students get into it, and hey, some teachers love it too. If you haven't seen my banana costume, you can find that on my Facebook page. But what can you do for some cool Halloween activities in your class? Because it's always, you know, I want to do something cool for Halloween, but I'm not quite sure what to do. Well, here are some of my ideas for Halloween for your ESL class. Number one, recreate the Thriller video, the whole video. Yeah, I've done it. And I will post it on the James Rice Show website, www.thejamesriceshow.com, under this episode. And you can click on it and you can see what we did. So, to give you a brief overview, we got one of our classes to dress up as zombies, and one student volunteered to be Michael Jackson, and one volunteered to be his girlfriend, and we shot the video word for word. Now, we didn't shoot all the dancing sequence, okay, obviously, but we shot the beginning part of Thriller and the end part of Thriller, and the middle was, of course, some dancing, not all of the dancing. But we did shoot it word for word. The script is the same. Now, if you watch the video on my website, stay to the end of the video, please, because we worked really hard to not only produce the ending kind of word for word, but we did it shot by shot, exactly the same as the original. It was a big event. It was a big day, but we did it all in one day, and it was really cool. I got to say, it was one of the cooler Halloween activities that we did, and the students loved it. And I even used the same font as in the original video. So if you watch it right to the end, you'll see. So they did a great job. I think you guys can improve on it. You know, we did it once, and one day you can, if you have time, you could improve on it and do a whole lot more. All right, another great Halloween idea is more dance. Yeah, of course, I love doing Thriller. So, you know, obviously I've done a lot of stuff with Thriller over the years. But I've also done a dance video with Monster Mash and Ghostbusters. Sisters. Yeah, those are great, great Halloween songs. You can get your entire class up, or you can get your entire school to dance. It's and I'll post those also on the website for you to view, because those are cool videos and fun things to do. And you know what? It didn't take a lot of time. It took a couple of hours. That's all it took. We did not spend hours and hours and hours practicing. I think in total, no more than 2 or 3 hours on the Halloween day. So some people love the dance and some people don't. Okay, so that's fine. So you could have one of the classes doing a dance, or one or two combine those classes. And then you could have other classes doing some other things. So some other cool ideas that we've done in the past is create a History of Halloween ebook. Yeah, a History of Halloween ebook. So if you use Apple's Pages or iBooks Author or the app Book Creator, then you could spend the next week or so kind of creating an ebook that can be shared among your classes. You could upload that book onto the school website. Pretty cool, a nice little PDF, and you can share all those amazing, interesting facts about Halloween, like how much candy is sold every year. I already gave you just one fact there you can put into the ebook. So it's great to have it's a great little research project for your students to work on, very project-based. You can work on a lot of the vocabulary, jack-o'-lanterns, trick-or-treating, all of that vocabulary that they're going to hear as Halloween gets closer and closer. Number four idea, make a movie trailer for a new Halloween film. All right. Now, it doesn't have to be Michael Myers' Halloween film, which is coming out and by all accounts is very, very good. But you can make a trailer that has a scary element to it, like a horror movie. And, you know, it's a great short video assignment, and you could do it on Halloween day. Again, a couple of hours, and you can really try to make something spooky or quirky or just horrifying. And if you use iMovie, you know that there's actual trailer kind of video effects on iMovie that you can use. So it's kind of all pre-designed, and you just have to storyboard it and come up with an idea. So it's very, very cool. There's also something I'm going to post on my website called Best Halloween Movie Scenes. All right, and you can check that out too. So you could maybe even use scenes from those movies or recreate those scenes for your class. A lot of fun. Number five, last one, Halloween around the world. Yeah, how do the different countries celebrate Halloween? And you could have different classes discussing how those countries celebrate Halloween. You could, if you have a good multicultural school, you could even have each of the groups presenting how they celebrate Halloween. Now, it's a little bit different in each country. For example, in Japan, they have what's called an Obon festival, which celebrates the memory of the dead relatives. You know, food and water is placed in front of photos of the dead, and bonfires and lanterns kind of light the sky and the spirits and back to earth. And that Obon is celebrated, I think it's celebrated in August, usually middle of August, or in some parts of Japan, maybe middle of July. So, you know, you could have Japanese explain that. Or in Austria, some people leave bread, water, and a lamp on the table when they go to bed. The reason why this is done is that it was believed by doing so, they would welcome back the dead souls to earth on this one particular night. And it was called All Souls Week between October 30th and November 8th. And so I've got a link to the history of kind of Halloween around the world. I've got the link on our website, www.thejamesriceshow.com. And you know what? Why not make a presentation? Have the students use a presentation app like Prezi, Keynote, or Haiku Deck. This type of topic is a great chance for the students to play with some of that new ed tech stuff that's out there, especially with presentation skills or book creator or movies. And we've talked about some of those different ed tech tools that you guys can use. So this is a great opportunity. Halloween is a great opportunity to kind of experiment and try some of those new things, because it doesn't necessarily have to be for a grade or for a mark. It can be just for fun. And you can see how well the students react to these different ed tech tools. So good luck. And happy Halloween, everyone.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
English is hard. We'll begin with a box, and the plural is boxes. But the plural of ox becomes oxen, not oxes. One fowl is a goose, but two are called geese. Yet the plural of moose should never be meese. You may find a lone mouse or a nest full of mice. Yet the plural of house is houses, not heice. If the plural of man is always called men, why shouldn't the plural of pan be called pen? If I speak of my foot and show you my feet, and I give you a boot, would a pair be called beet? If one is a tooth and a whole set are teeth, why shouldn't the plural of booth be called beeth? Then one may be that, and three would be those. Yet hat in the plural would never be hose. And the plural of cat is cats, not coes. We speak of a brother and also of brethren. But though we say mother, we never say motherin. Then the masculine pronouns are he, his, and him. But the plural is not the, this, or them. That was a poem called English is Hard, written by Anonymous. That means we don't know who wrote it. But I thought it was a really interesting poem, and I wanted to do a poetry reading for my students. And it's a great activity, teachers, if you want to try that activity in your class, getting them to read a poem with that amazing voice, yeah? All right, so we're winding down the show, but I want to remind everybody about the Disruptive Education Conference, Saturday, November 3rd. We have four key speakers, Judy Thompson, who we met at the beginning of the show, and, you know, she is a TED Talk speaker. And she is working on a book called Backpacker's Guide to Teaching English. Don't teach what you know, teach what students need to know. And she's going to show you the difference. So she'll be presenting. Who will be presenting, have a little bit tongue-tied there, is Elizabeth Verway. And she's looking at more of I think more of the business side of English, and she's going to talk about how to make money teaching English. So that's always positive. Also, Anesh Daya, who was a guest host here, if you remember back on episode 38, and he is an edupreneur, and he speaks seven languages. And he's going to be talking about addressing students' inability to use English and a bit about the language coach. And also me, James Rice. I will be there Saturday, November 3rd. And I would be grateful if you listen to the show. Please come up and talk with me. I love to meet teachers and who enjoy the show. And I love ideas too. And maybe you can guest on this show as well. Would love to have you on, talk about your experiences studying and learning and teaching. And if you're in the ESL business, love to hear your opinions as well. So thank you guys, as always, guys and gals, teachers and students, my class. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.